Hey guys, welcome back to the Short Corner Podcast. It's just me and Samir here for the short little episode 14.5. Unfortunately, Matt, Rid, and Joe are not here. It's just going to be the two of us talking about the match and some other things for sure. Samir, do you want to say hi?
Hello.
So, yeah, guys, a good match against Sampdoria. It was an away game. Pioli carrying his away form, as we've seen. Interesting stat with that match, we have the joint highest away wins for the calendar year, tied with Barcelona and Man City. So Pioli's away form is just scintillating for sure. But Samir, you have any thoughts on the match that you want to talk about?
First of all, our away form is amazing. Like since last season, like I think that's the most thing like Pioli improved on, honestly. Like, and this is, I'm kind of scared to play at home, even though the fans are back. It just, you know, our home form has been horrendous last year. Like, really, really, really bad. So, yeah, like, I feel like if we can keep on improving our away form, we'll get better at home. You know, like, if home is our fans are there, it should be much easier. But, yeah, away form, it's a good one. And for the match, I preferred the first half, honestly. We look much more energetic. Like, everyone was, like, running. Second half was, like, I don't know. Why did we get tired, like, so early? Like, around 60 minutes, like, everyone, like, were really tired. I don't know why. It was a good match. Aaron Mike was an amazing match. Yeah. Like, he saved us so many times. Like, it's crazy.
he's the best goalkeeper in the Serie A. I think I agree with you there.
Easily. We changed the best in the world with the best in the world. Like, he was perfect, man. And the long passes, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Donnarumma is to always, like, hog the ball, you know, like, take his time. Mike is totally different.
Mike, what I like about, definitely, he is. I was just telling my friends after the game that his passes, his long passes, his ball distribution, his vision are that of, like, Andrea Pirlo playing as a goalkeeper, pretty much. he hit the long ball to Rafa Leao. He obviously couldn't finish. It was a really good long ball. Spotted that around, and then on our goal, he hit it down into the end for Davide Calabria. Fantastic work by Calabria. He beat Ogello, and then Brahim Diaz. Obviously, Odero should have done better, but hey, a goal is a goal. Take it. But Mike Maignan started that move. What I noticed about Maignan, he loves to catch the balls whenever there's a ball. Like, you feel comfortable with him catching it. He doesn't really spill the ball, and he commands his box really. So obviously, like, Maignan, obviously a top performer. I think he got MVP of the game, either him or Brahim, but Maignan saved their asses for sure. Other than Maignan, obviously we can talk about him. I think Tomori, fantastic again. Tonali, other than the one bad pass on the counter, other than that, his game was really just well-rounded, really just like fine defensively, offensively. He was getting tackles in, making passes, just doing what's expected of him, really. Do you want to talk about Krunic?
To be honest, Krunic had a very slow start. Yeah. He did nothing first half, but second half was like actually good. After giving credits, you know, he did small passes. He went front. He defended well. Yeah. You know, the defending he did, like the jumping header. that was awesome, man.
It was like Kaká against Old Trafford in Champions League.
Yes. like that thing, and Tonali also same thing. Oh, like Krunic, as the game got, you know, he became better and better and better. I like, you know, hopefully by the next game, Benacer will be back. We'll see Benacer and Tonali. But yeah, man, Tonali, like you said in the previous episodes, he's gonna be the best. Like soon this year, he will show his potential. Like, I can already see it. Like, he has. His passing range is good. The way he defends, you know, like, he's at first, you know, like when I heard about him, like back in the days, 2 years back, I thought maybe a Pirlo, but no, man, he's like a Gattuso.
Gattuso, yeah.
way more technical ability. You know what I'm saying?
He's a Gattuso is more technical. You're exactly right. He's better passing than Gattuso, I think. Yeah, just a mix of both worlds. He's a fantastic player at this age too. Like, people don't realize how good this kid Tonali is. He's gonna become really, really good in the future for Italia and hopefully for Milan.
Yeah.
What else? We can do like, I guess, a star of the match and the flop of the match. So for me, I already said it. For me, the man of the match is Mike Maignan. Flop, I would have to say Theo Hernandez. I love Theo as like I love him so much, but he was our worst player out there yesterday. It's just has to
Yeah.
be said. What about you?
Top of the match, like it has to be like Mike, Iron Mike. He was like, man, he was so good. Brahim, like he did good, you know. He was very good during the whole match, but Mike saved us like countless times. Without him, we're easily losing like 2-1. If we had Tatarusanu,
Tatarusanu conceded all those goals. He's shite.
yeah. Like easily. I'm sorry about that, man. He's not good enough. And for the match, Theo, man, like what's wrong with him? Like since the preseason, right? He didn't show up at all.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what's happening there, man. Like, did he break up again or like you know, like yeah, he was not at all in the match. Like, dude, all he did was just run and then just nothing, honestly.
Yeah,
And
he was really bad.
yeah, hopefully. And then what's up on next match against you?
Against, yeah, let me see. Checking right now. We play on the weekend and we're playing Cagliari at home. That might be a tough one since it's at home.
Yeah.
Actually, on that goalkeeper thing, I want to touch on that. I think Alessandro Pizzarri, he's been on our books for quite some time. At one point,
Yeah.
Milan Twitter was saying, hey, Donnarumma's gone. We already have Pizzarri. So I think Pizzarri can fill the homegrown quota in the Champions League, and he can't be much worse than Tatarusanu. Let's be honest here. He can't be much
Yeah.
worse. He's young. He has room to grow. So I think Pizzarri should be our second choice instead of Tatarusanu. I don't know. Beats me how he's not it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So there he was. Like, you remember when Donnarumma was supposed to leave? We
Yeah.
were like, yeah, let's you know, like let him go. We have this guy.
Go
Might be
to
better. Like, yeah, like give him a chance. What's the worst can happen? Like, Tatarusanu
Yeah.
did like everything possibly wrong he could, right? Like mistake, howlers after howlers. Like, how bad can the kid be, right? And hey, the kid is like 21.
He's
Like,
21. He's
give him
young.
the chance. Exactly, give him the chance. Let's see what he can do. He can't be worse. And people might say Tatarusanu brings experience. Like what? Like you know,
Bad.
like I don't. I to be honest, like I didn't see anything of him. Like okay, maybe that's why he's the second starter. He brings nothing. Like at all, nothing, nothing. It just yeah.
Actually, one thing I want to talk about is if did you notice how Tonali played a lot better when Bennacer was on the field versus Kurt?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely, he was way more free. I've noticed that too. Like, as soon as Benacer came out, he was like, okay, he was like more free to pass. He was way more free to go front. You know, like he went forward a lot. Have you noticed? Like last match, he kept on like going front, going front. So
On
yeah.
that note, like Mario Balotelli at when he was at Brescia, he had a press conference and he told us that he sees Tonali more as a number 10 than as a defensive midfielder. Maybe that's what we saw. Obviously, I'm not saying he should play there, but Tonali has the offensive characteristics, is what Balo is saying there. And we saw that, like you were saying, Samir, when Bennacer came on.
Yeah. I think like knowing Maldini, when Kessié is like fully fit, Benacer starts, Tonali's gonna be our number 10 backup. Man's gonna not waste money, man.
Yeah, we can get to the Mercato talking a bit actually while we recap the game.
Before, yeah, you're gonna talk about the attack?
Yeah, the header.
You know, the attack, our front four. What
Oh
do you think
yeah,
of
the
that?
attack, our front four. What I want to talk about defense first is, did you notice when Romagnoli came on, it was a 3-5-2. It was Romagnoli, Tomori, Kjaer. The wing
Yeah.
back was Theo, and the right wing back was Lorenzi. It was a midfield three, Abrade,
Yeah.
Sandro, and Ismail, I think. And then the top two was Rebic, and I think it was either Giroud. I think it was Giroud too.
It was
So
your, yeah.
we just want to talk about a bit about that little defensive switch, which was a good switch, I think, to defend the lead.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. I think you can also use it while attacking because,
Yeah, it's not bad.
like 3-5 is like a like if you want, you can really attack your opponent with it. And I really want Poli to, you know, like switch up if needed, you know. Like I want him to have a backup just in case.
Yeah.
Like before him, none of our manager, like Montella, Gattuso, they didn't have a backup.
It was always the same flexible. They weren't tactically flexible at all.
Exactly. That one, you know, got them sacked. Like Gattuso, he and his 4-3-3, right? He wouldn't change it for anyone. So it was like, I hope Poli, you know, has a backup just in case. I liked it. One defending, three defenders. Perfect, you know. In that way, Roman really can have game time, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice.
So, and yeah, for sure.
So what do you think of attack? Like, do you think, like, what? How is it?
Our attack, oh my God, man. Like, it was lacking. Our attack is severely lacking. Like Joe was saying in the early episode, like, Giroud, he's quality. He tried. He's trying his best, but we just need more a chance creator, if that makes sense. I know Hakan, obviously he can create chances, but we need more of that from Brahim, Alexis, and Yao. And Bernardo Silva, if he comes, he can be that chance creator, but we need to create more chances for sure.
Yeah.
We lack that against that.
Yeah. Jared, man, you could see like he was trying really hard.
Yeah,
Jude was really good. He had good chances, but they were like hard chances, not easy ones.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, Liao had a good game at the first half. He was like really good. He tried finally. He's running, man. Like he's finally running. So like that's an improvement, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. And Saleh, it's hard, man. I don't really see Saleh makers like creating chances like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't try. He was in the middle. He was on the left side. He tried. He ran a lot. But then, I don't know, man. Like I don't see him like making like clear chances for the strikers.
He's not a chance creator. That's for sure. He's a hard worker. But it's just like a Borini type player playing right wing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think Milan was saying in the earlier pod, Rafael Leao, first half of the season, Leao is a very different player to second half of the season, Leao. It's night and day almost. It's so different. Like, I don't understand.
Yep. Yeah, like, it's same with Rebic, right? Like, Rebic, what did he do yesterday? Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, Sergio Doing says, he was ass. So, it's like, yeah, it's just some... These two players are very weird, man. But then, yeah, man. Maldini, like, has to get a right winger or we'll, like, celebrate doom.
Mm-hmm.
So far, like, that was a match, yeah. Like,
actually, one last thing to touch on, and it's on your point. You said Brahim might be stepping up this season, and you probably felt a lot vindicated when he scored the goal. Did you?
Oh, yes. I'm like, finally, like, yes. Like, you know, like, he has to step up. He really has to step up for us, you know? Hakan left, that saga is over. And Brahim, man, like, you can see in his match, he is, like, only problem with him, he's like, a bit short.
Yeah.
If he was a bit taller, man, like, he'd be, like, great, like he's not scared at all. Like he always keeps on going forward, you know. Like he does not care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's perfect for us. And was he like a bit less selfish yesterday? Like, you know, like usually he really like holds the ball.
He does,
like
yeah.
for a long time and then loses the ball. Yesterday, I feel like he looked for the passes, right?
He's getting better every game. I'm gonna say that, and I'm gonna make a comparison. No disrespect to Lionel Messi and all his greatness, but Brahim Diaz, he plays a bit like Messi with the same build, same dribbling ability, same chance creation. Like, he needs to get a bit better, but he reminds me of a young Lionel Messi. Like, when Messi wore the number 30, right? With the long hair flowing.
Yeah.
Reminds me, Messi was a lot better, but just similar. You can see some characteristics.
For sure. Like, you can see that the dribbles, you know?
Yeah.
For like, sure. Man, I feel like one Brahim, like if he keeps on playing, if he keeps on going, charging up a man, you know, like 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps on posting like the defenders or you know the opposition team. He can you know like get the confidence to do that every match. Like that's what happened to Messi, right? He was so good at dribbling and beating his man. Like that's became his thing. I see that with Brahim.
Yeah, he beats his man.
I think he just like if he gets you know like what do you call that? I forgot the word. Like if he becomes good at doing the same thing, you know, like he's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. One more thing. The last thing we can talk about the game is the Florenzi debut. It wasn't too special. He just got some minutes on the field.
Yeah,
nothing horrible. But he was just. What'd you make of that? I thought he was all right.
Like, he had like 7 or 8 minutes. No. And you really can't judge by the first game. But then, you know, I'm kind of scared. Like, he was Salah McCrae's substitute. Like, that does not look as good. I think he looked decent for the like for the first game of his Milan career. He looked decent, but then he was playing as an attacker, right? But to be honest, we changed the formation to 3-5. Maybe, you know, he was like a...
But it's worrying. It's worrying. I get what you're saying. It's super worrying if we're playing him as a right winger, you know, as a substitute. It is worrying.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much for the game, unless we missed something. Covered Tonali, Radi Krunic, Tomori, all right. Kjaer. I mean, obviously, like, we don't even have to talk about him anymore. We don't have to talk about Simon Kjaer.
He's like just always good, man. Like, nothing but always every game amazing, yeah.
You don't have to talk
about him. Oh, Calabria, man. He was amazing. Oh,
the armband. Capitano.
Capitano, baby. Let's go. Like, man. It's crazy. Like, we almost sold him a year back. Like, when, like, Conte was studying, like, yeah, man. Like, wow.
Good.
Yeah, he is amazing. Wow. Like, dude. His cross has gotten so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. His cross are getting better every game. Every game. Dude, like, I know I've been saying Kjaer for the armband. It would make sense, but Kjaer came out recently and he said, I don't care who has armband. Everyone's a leader in this team. I'll take it if I have to, but I don't really need it. And that's, you already know, like, deep down, like, he's like the leader, and that's how a leader speaks. He does not need the armband. It's just something you need to have. And Kjaer does his job regardless of the armband, regardless of anything. He's consistent. But then Calabria showed that he deserves the armband just as much as anyone else, as Kessié, as Kjaer, just today. Yep. Or not today, yesterday. But what a performance. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So our defense is definitely our best aspect, I would say. That's our best aspect.
Easily. Yeah, man. Like, we got the backups. Like, our front four and their backups. I think we have one of the best defense in the league, right? Easily.
In the league.
With the backups.
Definitely, man. Since no Barca fans will be listening to this podcast, I'm gonna say this off the bat: we have a way better defense than Football Club Barcelona.
Oh, easy and name.
Let me break it down.
Easily,
Theo Hernandez beats out Jordi Alba. Simon Kjaer way better than Pique. I would say Kayo Tomori, a fantastic young center back, better than, I think, Araujo or Eric Garcia.
Oh, long lead.
long lead. I'm not even gonna talk about that piece. And right back, Barca don't even play. Barca play Dest and Roberto. Calabria and Florenzi, both better than those two.
Yep.
Iron
Mike. Even Iron Mike, I think he ages these days.
Maybe. I'm not going to go there yet, but Mike needs a few games. But our back four, way better than Barca. I say that.
Easy.
But so I think Calabria, do you think Calabria should be having armor going forward? I think he's made a really good case for it, that he should have an armband.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind, honestly. Like, he's been the longest serving, right? So, and like you mentioned, Kjaer, he's a leader. He doesn't need,
anything.
Like, armband to, like, he doesn't, same like Ibra, they don't need the armband, you know, they are the leader in the locker room. You just know them, the way they shout, the way they talk. So, I don't think it's necessary. I think I think it's a good, like, moral booster for Calabria, because I think it works in that way. Like, Kjaer, he doesn't lose anything. With or without it. He's amazing anyways. He's the leader. So I think it's perfect for Calabria, you know?
And one more thing I want to talk about Davide Calabria. His shooting is getting better every game. He takes more shots. He's taking more crosses. He's getting higher up the field. And it's just beautiful to see. Defensively, he had the most tackles out of any defender in Europe last season, number one. And it's just nice to see that offensively, he's going up more and more. So he's quality.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm saying within a year or two, he's gonna be a complete defender.
Oh, he's gonna be world
like
class.
Exactly. Like, he's already good at defending. That's what his best aspect was, right? And now he's improving his attacking. He's gonna be amazing, man. Like, I just can't wait.
He has the first choice right back for Italia benched, so that just says everything. Mm. Florenzi is a first choice right back, and he's playing second to Calabria.
That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, we can talk a bit about the Mercato. So I'm just going to do a quick recap. Bernardo Silva, I've noticed, that's the first thing I woke up, I saw Bernardo Silva links. I don't think that will happen at all. Bakayoko, he's a few days and a few hours away from signing, according to Fabrizio Romano. And the last one is Frank Kessie renewal. What are your thoughts on those three things?
Bakayoko, I'll get it done. Like, Krunic was good, but then we can't, you know, we can't rely on him, obviously.
He's not a
Bakayoko, get it done. Yeah, with the, so, you know, Bakayoko, if you're Bakayoko and Tonali, I think they will complement each other, like, perfectly.
Sure. Yeah.
Baka can sit back and Tonali can, you know, do his thing easily. Yeah. And as for Bernardo Silva, who would be a dream signing, man, like, when we have no cash. Like, sadly. Like, it sounds good, you know, like 2 year loan, 50 million, then 30 million, but I don't think Man City will accept it. Yeah. And reading Maldini's comment about wages, you know, like the wage he wants to have, I don't think so. Bernardo is possible. Yeah. Bernardo wants like 8-9 million, you know.
That's a lot, it's way too much, man.
Yeah, like and Kessie, man, we have to get it done. Like, I'm gonna be honest, if you lose Kessie, I'm going to lose all my trust in Maldini.
Yeah.
Like you lost Donnarumma. Okay, you know, his agent is a dick. I get it, you know, Donnarumma. Like, top five in the world keeper. I get it, you know. He's asking 12 million, okay. Mm-hmm. Can't sustain that. Hakan left because, you know, he's Hakan. You know, he thinks he's bigger. He's the best player. So, you know, he has his own ego. He left, you know. He also does not deserve 8 million a year. 7 million a year. But Kessie, he's a pillar, man. Like, he's the guy who should build the team around. He's definitely top 10 in the world right now. Like, I don't think I'm delusional if I say that, right? He's such a good player. He's not asking for like 10, 12 million. He's just asking for 7 million.
Yeah, sorry, but it's a single increase is what it is.
Yeah. And Maldini should understand, like, to improve the team, you have to play better. Like, good players will take good amount of money, right?
Yeah,
the good players don't come from cheap. And if you make UCL back-to-back every year, he has to increase. You can't, like, cap players at, like, 5, 6 million, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. And, like, you know, like, same with Theo. Theo is top five in the world as a left back. Yeah. He will lose big money, right? Like, you can't blame them. They're not greedy. They need the money because they are the best in their positions, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think there's a lot to go in here. Bakayoko, I think he reduced his salary from 7 mil or 8 mil to he took a pay cut to join us.
Yeah.
And anyone that does that, like, that's just if you're taking a pay cut to play for Milan, like Adil Rami did, or I think Sakali did the same thing. It's just nice to see that you want to be here, not for the money, but for the club. And that's the opposite of what Gigio did. Gigio held the club at hostage and wanted to milk us money. He's not a Milanista anymore, in my book. If you're doing that, you're not a Milan fan. And on Bernardo Silva, he's a world class player. He's world class. He would change our attack completely. The chances created would go up. The assists would grow up. Giroud and Zlatan,
just everything.
Fantastic.
Yep.
The goals. Bernardo Silva is good at scoring as well. I don't think it will happen. You know, Man City are a top club. They want top dollar for a top player, which we can't offer. Like, as you're seeing, right, with the Kessie negotiation. So, on the Kessie thing, obviously, it's a big thing because Kessie's our best midfielder, and I don't think anyone will disagree on that. And Maldini, it would be a huge failure from Maldini's point of view to let him walk on a free. Have you read the rumors that Bakayoko could be the Kessie replacement? If that's the case, I'm done, man. I'm tired if that's the thing.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, I don't see in any world that's what they're thinking. It's impossible. Like, you can't replace Kessie with anyone, let alone Bakayoko, right? Like, honestly, like, if you're Milan, okay, you have 50 million, okay, to spend on a Kessie replacement, who it can be, you know? I don't really see anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, why don't you, I know I'm talking about freaking FIFA Karuma, but cancel Kessie's contract. Give Samu's wages to Kessie. Obviously, it doesn't work that way, but do something. Kessie at all costs. I think Samu earns close to Kessie, which is it's embarrassing. super embarrassing. Super embarrassing. And
like, give him the 7 million, man. Like, we are improving as a club. We are not the Milan of 5 years, right? Like, we, hopefully we make UCL. If you make UCL, you have to increase. You know, they're not going to stay for 2 million. Like, Skill's not going to stay with the wages he has. No way. Mm-hmm. Like, no freaking way. Like, you have to improve, right?
Yeah,
if the game is improving. Yeah. Like, if this kind of, like, thing is going on, I'm pretty sure next year Theo will be leaving. Like, no way he's staying, you know?
And that's on the management. I understand that Maldini has like restrictions from Elliot to not give players certain wages, but Kessié is the only person that deserves a pay raise. If anything, he's been a staple in our midfield. The world knows how good he is now. He's top, and you can see what how many clubs are circling around for him. He's one of the best midfielders in the Serie A and in the world. He's well rounded, and he's a staple. He's a kingpin of our midfield. You can't just let a player that good walk on a free. Just disastrous if that happens.
Maldini has been doing that a lot, right? Honestly, like he signs players for like very good amount, you know, like cheap. Mm-hmm. He's good at signing, but I would say he's really bad at renewing. Like he can't
re-sign the player, which Liverpool have been doing. If you notice, Robertson, Van Dijk, Maldini's really bad at that. So Maldini, he has his shortcomings. He has his flaws. He also has his good things, like any person in the world. But the bottom line here is Maldini cannot let Kessié walk on a free. That'd be the biggest failure of this season by far, in my opinion.
Yeah, easily. Oh yeah, what do you think of Pellegrini?
Oh yeah, Pietro Pellegrini. Yeah, he joined us today. So, I think he came out onto the scene 3 years ago. He scored in Totti's farewell game. And he was like he was 16 years old or some shit like that at the time, and it's just like, yo, who is this kid? Everyone, they're just like, he just scored in Totti's farewell game. Who the fuck are you? Who are you? But his Monaco move, that's just a case of young players moving abroad too quick for too much money. That was a bad move from him. Hopefully, obviously, he sees Zlatan and Giroud are his competition. They don't have legs anymore, so he might get some minutes for this season. Obviously, expectations are low, so if he does overachieve, that's good, because no one's really expecting him to do particularly well. But here's why I think we loaned out Colombo to whatever team we want to, and why we brought in Pellegrini. So Colombo, the way I see it, the team he's been playing, he's been loaned out to, if he does well there, they might want to buy him for like 8-9 mil. And that's pure profit from Milan's standpoint. So they can just sell Colombo off to the team that's loaning him. Versus Pellegrini, it's a 1 mil loan, a low risk, high reward kind of.
High reward, yeah.
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 So that's why I know a lot of people are saying, why didn't we just keep Colombo? But I think they're trying to make profit off him. That's what Pellegrini got brought in as the third choice. But I haven't really seen him play much. I can't really talk about how good he is or how bad he is. So only time will tell if Pellegrini stays fit. He has a really horrible injury record. I know that for a fact, but we'll see. He seems promising, I'll say that.
Like, I would say if he scores more than 3.5, like he scored like 2 goals or 3 goals within 3 years. I mean, like, he didn't play a lot. He didn't play, like, he played like 10% of the time in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
For me, like, if he's just healthy, first of all, that's the main thing, because our Milan lab, it's like one of the worst lab, I think. Like,
it used to be the best. Like, do you remember back in the day?
Like Maldini, like they like he used to make players who used to play till 36 easily.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened. I read some article long before, like 3-4 years back. Like we were so good, we got stubborn. You know, like, oh, we have the best lab, you know, like we got this. But now it's like, you know, training method changed, everything changed. You know, we just did not, you know, move with the time. And we're like stuck.
Our lab was so famous to the point, it was on a script on the FIFA video game. The commentator was like, we don't know the magical things they do at the Milan lab, getting players.
Yeah.
That's how fabled our lab was. And now it's just gone to shit.
Yep.
So I don't know what's going on there. I think some of the examples back then, I would say Gattuso, Inzaghi was playing at a high age, Flamini, Mark Van Bommel,
yep,
Sam Brotta.
Everyone from that squad. played till 25-26. And now I hope Man Pellegrini is wrong. Like, I feel if he can score 3-4 goals, I'm happy, you know? Yeah. Like, he scored 2 goals in 3 years. So 3 goals in 3 years. So if he can do it under a season.
Yeah.
That's
the expectation is low, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not a bad signing by any means, but we do need to address the right winger, the right winger for sure, and Cassie contract renewal. We need to get those out of the way.
You heard of the rumors for the right wing Messian?
Oh, that guy? I'd never heard of him before. Like, who
is he?
We're in Champions League. Can't be linked to Serie B players. That's bullshit.
Dude, I think we just got linked to literally a guy who's worse than Castillejo. What's happening, man?
This is the black Castillejo. We got this dude. I don't know. We can't be linked to mediocre players anymore. We're Milan, man. Like, at least be linked to like some Berardi, Adam Munoz, even De La Feu. These guys are good. They have names, not some no names from Serie B, man. Like, all respect to Bennacer. Bennacer is quality, but everyone can't be Bennacer.
Facts. Yeah, true. Like, and Messiah, I think he's like 30. Like, yo, like,
32. Like,
what you on about?
Prospect.
Like, what are you on about? Like, I don't know, man. Let's see. We have like 6 years left. Name. I'm scared, man.
It's not
looking good. I thought.
When does the Mercato end? 31st, right?
Yep.
So if Maldini wants to get signings, he has to get that Bernardo deal out of the way in the next 6 days. Yeah.
I think Bakayoko and Pellegrini. That's it, man. Like, we are.
Yeah, we should have offloaded Samu Castillejo, and that should have been our goal. And he's staying because if Maldini offloads Samu Castillejo, he has a transfer fee and he has the wages that he can give to Franceschi. So I think that's easy. Maybe Samu stopping him from renewing Kessi. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. I'm just speculating here, but maybe that's it.
Yeah. God knows.
So if that's the case, man, Samu can go jump off a bridge, man. Like, just leave. Like, if because it's like the Messi Barca situation, right? Like, Griezmann didn't want to reduce his wages, so Messi had to leave. If Samu doesn't want to reduce his wages, we have to see Kessi leave. Like,
it's crazy. I think from our squad, we only have like 2 bad players, Samu and Conte. Conte is not bad as Samu, but then, you know, like, he just can't stay. So if you remove Castillejo and Conte, we actually have for the first time in years, a squad without bad players.
Yeah.
Like, some might say, oh, Krunic, but then, come on, Krunic is not a CDM. It's Pioli's fault. You can't blame him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you remove... Yeah, I think so. We will have... If they can leave Conte and Sam with this window, we'll have, for the first time in a while, like, a decent to good squad without any bad players. Like...
Yeah, Krunic, he's not bad. He just reminds me of Ambrosini a bit. Remember, he's just a squad player pretty much. Like, he's just there, right?
Yeah.
But
Ambrosini was, like, much, much, much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Also, Krunic is on the stadium. We just can't be. It's purely doing purely. Like, for Bosnia, Krunic plays as a winger. For Empoli, he was, like, a number 10. You know, like, a number 8, number 10. Like,
yeah,
he's playing as, like, a full-on CDM, which is great.
That's why we need Bakayoko.
Yeah, man.
Like, the players like Pobega and Krunic, they don't really have a position in our team. Like, if we got Frankie de Jong, he wouldn't have a position in our team. It's just they're just like the center mids. You know what I mean? Like, the Milinkovic Savage of the world. Like, they don't really, they're not not an attacking mid. They're just there.
They're in between, yep.
That's CM, pure CM, yeah. So, yeah, that was our match recap, guys. Is there anything more you want to talk about, Samir?
No, I'm good.
Perfect. All right. 14.5. That's a wrap. Just me and Samir just ranting about Milan and our Mercato and how bad Samu Castillejo is, pretty much. It's been a common theme for the Short Corner podcast for good reasons. But anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in to me and Samir having our little chat. So I'll see you for the UCL draw. Tune in for that. We're going to have a guest on, a Chelsea fan. So we're going to do a little group recap on that. I'll see you soon, guys. Thanks for tuning in.